The show you're about to listen to is very old and comes with a warning. When we recorded these shows over a decade ago, the world was a different place and we were little more than children. As a result of this, you might hear a few things that by today's standards we judge to be inappropriate or offensive. Please don't be offended. In the years that have passed since recording these shows, we've all grown up to be wonderful, loving, liberal, free-thinking, open-minded individuals. If the us from over a decade ago say something to upset the you of today, please understand that we're as disgusted with ourselves as you are. But isn't this what life is all about? Learning and growing? We all said and did things in our younger days that make us cringe when we think about them. We just recorded it and put it out on the internet. With all that in mind, I hope you enjoy the show. Oh, and there's just one more thing. Don't email the show or try to enter competitions. We don't have that email anymore, and all the competitions are over. We do have a Facebook group where you're very welcome to discuss any aspects of the podcast. Please visit simplysyndicated.com for more information.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Make It So, episode number 7. Sorry we're a bit late with this one, but technical difficulties will occur. I'm Richard Smith.
I'm Mike Dawson.
And I'm Tristan Oakfield.
Joining us on Skype, everybody, Skype. One day it'll even work properly.
How many miles are there in between us all now at the moment?
2,000.
2,000 miles?
Yeah.
Odd that.
Seeing as we're 120 miles apart.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So this week we're going to be discussing who is the best captain / leader / general / all of those things. People in a position of authority.
Mm. That's a very good way of terming it, Rich. Well done.
I'm glad I came up with that one just then. So, as I was sort of
who is the best person in Star Trek in a position of authority is the question that we're posing tonight. Is that right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I think that's a good sort of thing. I think maybe it would be best if we sort of work our way through the series again.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay, can do.
Okay, let's do that then. Okay. Original series. Couple of obvious contenders.
Okay, well, look, Kirk to start with.
Kirk to start with.
Yeah. Pike to second.
Oh, Pike to second. That's good. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put one forward.
Technically, it's Pike to start with.
Yes, it is, technically.
Yes, good point. What about Khan?
Yes.
You say that like you're discussing which wine to choose for dinner tonight.
Does it want anybody fancy a glass of
Khan? What about Khan?
What about Khan? I think I'd like something in a red. Khan is red. Now, Khan's more of a rosé.
That's what Khan is.
Okay, so Khan.
Khan. I'm also going to push the boundaries of this a little bit.
Ooh, don't step your mark there, boy.
And I'm going to say Spock when Kirk's not there.
Okay.
Because that happens quite a lot too, I think. Okay. And he has a very different sort of command style to Kirk. So it's only fair to include him, I think. I'm not going to push it and say Scotty when Kirk and Spock aren't there. Because he's shit, actually. Although later becomes a captain.
Yeah.
And all that.
As the Sulu.
Oh, of course.
As he points out, he was only ever a captain by rank and never wanted to be anything more than an engineer. Yes, he does.
Should we include Sulu in this? Or
that's the movies.
Oh, sorry. Yes, of course. We'll come back to that. So, we have, arguing for best leader of original series, Kirk, Spock, or Khan?
And Pike.
Can we rule Pike out right away?
Yeah.
Why?
Well,
he's the original, though, isn't he? He's the first. He's the original captain of the Enterprise. You know, before it was the Enterprise, it was more Enterprise back then, wasn't it?
That's very true. Yeah.
I think you've got to give him some kind of kudos for that alone.
Yeah, I can give him the kudos for that, but I don't know. I don't think he did enough to put him in the Kirk sort of region of commandership.
No, certainly not.
Right, okay.
Kirk region.
The Kirk. You see,
sounds
I was
like
always
a very strange disease.
I was always fascinated by Pike when I was younger anyway, because just the idea of it. I mean, it's difficult for us to get our heads around it because we didn't obviously grow up watching the original series. But then, if you like, if you could imagine the first two episodes of Next Gen, and it's someone completely different in command of the Enterprise. Jean-Luc Picard isn't anywhere to be seen. And then this guy is gone, and then he only crops up like sometime in season three, and he's been burnt to a crisp and is in a wheelchair, and he only has two buttons, yes or no. Or some, you know.
No, that was the cruel thing. He didn't have two buttons. They just gave him one button.
That he hits twice.
One for yes and two for no, or something.
That's right, yeah. But
very,
I mean,
cruel.
Very cruel. But I mean, can you imagine if they did that with Next Gen? I mean, how bizarre that would be if the first two episodes there was someone else in command of the Enterprise. It seems quite weird. It's kind of like Jeffrey
Babylon
Sinclair.
5.
Yeah, Jeffrey Sinclair commanding Babylon 5 for the first season, and then John Sheridan taking over in seasons 1, 2, 3.
Why did that happen?
I have no idea. It worked well for the story. But it is bizarre when you think that he wasn't always the main character, especially when you get to like the end of season 5, and then you think, he wasn't. It was Sinclair first.
They've just started rolling on the Babylon 5 movie. I read the other day.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know anything about it, just other than they've started filming the Babylon 5 movie.
Bizarre.
But might be good. You don't know. I wasn't much of a Babylon 5 fan beforehand, to be honest.
I don't think anyone still watched it. Or maybe it's the DVD sales. Could be.
It might be that. Didn't they do a whole load of straight-to-DVD movies anyway?
Yes, they did.
Yeah. Yes, they did.
Cool.
Which I've not watched.
And that's all I have to say about that. No, I haven't. Mm-hmm. I really should, because some of them look quite good. Some of them were prequels, some of them...
sequels, some of them weird
thank
ones.
You, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. So we've dismissed Pike anyway. I think we have to, because if it's let's face it, if it's Pike and Khan in a fight, then Khan's going to win.
I would agree with that, because Pike, well, he just got killed nearly, but not didn't even have the decency to die.
Yeah,
I don't know. Sort. And then he came back and caused all that trouble for Captain Spock, not Captain at the time, but Spock. Which sort of drags him down a little bit with it, don't you think?
Yeah, a little bit.
Mixing with a bad sort, I think my mother would say. Something like that. He's a bad influence on you, that Captain Pike, making you do things that you don't want to do. So I think that drags Spock out with him, actually.
I feel so sorry for the poor bastard. I mean, okay, maybe... the actor, this is... okay, maybe Star Trek wouldn't have been a monumental success if they had left him in the leading role. But he was fired because he was too much of a thinker, wasn't he? He looked like too much of a kind of dreamer, and they wanted someone who could look good in a cowboy outfit, that kind of, you know, bit of rough and tumble, fisticuffs, that sort of thing. And that's what they got Bill Shatner in.
That's
poor sod.
Yeah.
Poor sod.
Mind you, they changed a lot from that pilot episode.
Yeah, well, only one thing survived, or two Spock. Things, Spock and the Enterprise.
Yeah, but the Enterprise didn't look anything, or the internal workings of the Enterprise didn't look anything the same. In fact, it all looked a lot better and a lot less 60s in the cage. It's all decked out grey military. The uniforms are very grey military-esque, and then after that, they kind of like look a bit... colourful, bright, hippie, we're 60s, smoking lots of acid and whatever you're doing with it, I don't know. That's what, you know, the look of the Star Trek internal sets completely changed as well between those two pilots.
So Kirk sort of speaks for himself, doesn't he, really? I mean,
yeah.
He's the legend, allegedly.
He is, and I think, by the way, we've been going by very default, as Kirk beat Khan, then Khan can't really win, can he?
No, we have put that one to the test, and it was proved quite conclusively. It would be unfair of us to carry anyone through from the original series other than Kirk.
It would really be, to be fair.
Although it's going to make the next bit of movie talk a little bit difficult, because who else do you pick? So let's go to that. Okay.
Okay.
Movies. Kirk again. We've got Picard again. Picard, we've got to reserve for the Next Generation, really.
Yeah.
Do we have anyone else in the movies? Again, Captain Sulu. I'm just trying to think who we had. Who was that captain of... what was it? The ship that got killed in Khan.
in the ship that got killed in Con, Travis, wasn't it? Or
The other captain of the Enterprise in the motionless picture.
Decker.
Now Decker. He was rubbish.
He was in Jumping Jack Flash as well.
Of course he was. Yes, we were talking about it the other day, weren't we?
Yes, we were.
Now I've only seen the motionless picture once, because I'm not that much of a glutton for punishment. But it seems to me that what he basically did was get Kirk on board, and then go, "Well, you run it now. Now you're here. You do that."
Is that not what happened? No, that's not what happened. He was captain of the Enterprise. Kirk came on board and assumed command of the Enterprise as Admiral Kirk, and basically forcing him to take a back seat as the executive officer for the duration of the mission, which he was not best pleased about, because he'd been supervising all the refits and was ready to take it out on his missions and everything. And then Kirk just sort of barged his way back in and said, no, that's my ship still. Fuck off. But then he fell in love with a bald woman and he got laid, so that was all right. But, you know.
That's true. Didn't he die in the film as well, Decker?
No, they go off into another plane of existence at the end of something ridiculous.
Oh, right. That's a bit... I don't know. I'm never quite happy when a character does that, unless it's Wesley Crusher, of course, because it's all a little bit... it's almost not explaining something.
Yeah.
It's explaining where they've gone and why without really putting a lot into it. Oh, yeah, they've just gone off into a different dimension. So
Kind of like all Stan Lee's comic book characters being created through radiation overdoses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a nice, easy, you know, non-explanation. Like, where did they go? Oh, to another plane of existence, you know.
Yeah, that's it, exactly.
Sorry, I've just got to interject here slightly. I'm just looking up Jeffrey Hunter, the guy who played Captain Pike. He wouldn't have been that gutted about the whole not being Kirk thing, because he died in 1969.
Did he?
So, yeah.
Wow.
Stroke.
Oh, dear.
Mm.
Oh, well. So,
poor
yeah.
Sod. I feel even more sorry for him.
Yeah, the poor bugger.
Yeah. Okay, sorry, carry on.
You threw me there. That's what you did. You threw me. Where were we? We were just slagging off Decker, really, weren't we? Star Trek Generations, Captain Harriman of the Enterprise B.
Yes.
I've been trying to think of his name, actually, since you mentioned him. He was a bit wet as well, wasn't he?
He was, but again, we were sort of catching him in the same sort of... He only had, like, 10 minutes on... within the story, even less screen time, and I don't know, he was sat on a fuck ship as well. It wasn't finished, there wasn't a lot he could do, but now I'm talking about it, yeah, he did sort of get overridden by Kirk in that whole thing, didn't he?
Yeah, and the same sort of sense Decker did as well.
Yeah, maybe that's just Kirk. Maybe he's actually worse of a captain for doing that to all the other actual captains.
There's Captain Stiles.
Who was Captain Stiles?
He was the commander of Grissom in Star Trek 3. It's not really worth mentioning.
No, not really. You fool. Sorry. What else do we have? We're still on Kirk, aren't we? We've not really found anyone that would beat Kirk within the movie.
I think Captain Stiles would give him a run for his money. He only got blown up with one torpedo.
Did he? That's a shitter. That almost
he was just
never happens.
It goes, go to red alert, and then they fire at him, and he blows his ship up, the Klingons. And then a gunner says, "It was a lucky shot." And then Christopher Lloyd vaporizes him because he wanted prisoners.
So everyone was shocked all the way around, really.
Yeah. Very bad day for him, bad day for the gunner.
Yeah. Oh, well. Shouldn't have fired that shot. Never mind.
No.
Never mind. Later episodes, we come back to Picard and everyone again, don't we? We should just pick someone from the movies.
In the movies. I don't know, because we don't want it to generate into, like, best bad guy or worst bad guy or anything like that either.
No.
Movies is really difficult to choose.
Let's skip the movies then, because that's a dead end.
Yeah, let's go back to the series.
Next.
Because in Generations, there's loads. You've got, we've got Gowron to start with.
Yep.
Who else have we got? There's obviously Picard, obviously. Who else have we got? Yes.
We should throw in Riker. If we're going to throw in Spock, we should have Riker.
Okay, we have to throw in Riker by default. Other people, other civilizations.
This is the outrageous O'Connor. Or is it O'Connor, or whatever his name was?
Oh, him! The one with the in the Terry Hatcher episode.
Yeah, the one who beds Terry Hatcher.
Yeah, that one.
Riker, Riker gets a bit. Riker gets a bit jealous, and
you really feel for the man on that one. You really do, because he's no longer the stud on board, and that's really his main function.
Yeah.
It is. Sorry. Commander Riker, what are your duties? I pleasure the women, and I command the ship. Yeah. And I thrust my groin temptingly at Data's face every time I put a leg upon the thing. You're just waiting for that moment when Data turns to the left, sees Commander Riker's cock and balls in his face, looks up and says, "Can you just put your leg down, please?" That's just a big gripe of mine about that entire series, but I love it so much. It's because it's imperfect that it's so perfect, I think.
That's maybe Riker just wanted some joy to love him, you know. But then again, he did it when LaForge was sat in that seat as well, so...
He's not fussy. He's not fussy. No. Riker's there for everyone.
Blind guys. Androids.
Everyone. Creatures with no gender. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
If it breathes and it needs some loving. That's his job.
Yeah.
Bless him.
What do you call that then? You're like ship horn dog?
Ship horn dog. I like that.
Ship horn dog.
No, it's naval, so it has to have something to do with a barrel.
Something to do with a barrel.
Yeah, because it'd be traditional. You know the jokes about the sailors.
No.
Don't you?
No.
Oh, basically, it's a new sailor comes on board and he's basically. He's asked, you know, right, so what do we do when we want to have sex? And the captain goes, oh, it doesn't matter. There's a barrel down in the hold. He's like, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, go on, have a go. So anyway, he shags the barrel. And he's like, oh, that's right. That's amazing. He goes, yeah, it's your turn to be in the barrel next week.
I've never heard
so
that
there you
before.
Go. Well, they'd have to have it'd have to be something to, like, to do with barrels, old right. Naval stuff. Because they like their traditions. Don't they?
They do.
They do. Answers on a postcard, I suppose, then. Or an email or whatever. Actually.
Yes, because no one uses postcards anymore. Postcards are just wrong.
Exactly. Yes. Right then, where are
we? We need a solution.
I'm trying to think of other captains that have cropped up over the years, and I really can't.
Yeah, I was thinking our generations would be easy. There'd be loads, and I'm sort of thinking, Gowron, no, said him, and that's it, really.
There was the Ferengi captain that tried to get Picard to blow up the Enterprise with the Stargazer.
Yeah, he cropped up once or twice, didn't he?
Damon Bock.
Damon Bock. Gul Dukat.
He's not in it.
He appears in a couple of episodes of Next Gen.
No, he comes in as Gul Masset. He comes in under the name Gul Masset.
Right.
He plays the first Kardashian we see, but it isn't Gul Dukat.
With the silly helmet that I'm glad they threw away.
Yes, I remember that.
Take this message to your leaders, Gul Masset. We'll be watching. That's amazing. It's awesome.
Oh no! What's the Romulan guy's name? What's his name?
Tomalak.
Tomalak. There we go. Yeah, Tomalak. Tomalak was wicked.
What was the name of the actor that played Tomalak? Because I get the feeling he's someone I've seen a lot.
Yeah, he's the one-armed man.
You will have him very small parts.
And he's Jakar in Babylon 5 as well. What the fuck's his name?
Yes, he's also the Red Baron in Captain America, that awful, awful film, TV movie thing. Not the Red Baron, what's the fucking
Red Skull.
Thank you.
The baddie in...
Red Baron, idiot. Yes. It's a World War One flying ace. Too confused.
I'm just looking for
Andreas Kakulas or something like that. That's how you, I don't know how you pronounce it.
Oh, one of those types of names.
Katsulasa, I don't know.
But yes, he is Jakar. Jakar's wicked.
What about very good. The other Kardashian that has Picard captive for those couple of days?
Oh, he's mint as well. That's not at all. I was thinking of the actor and then just went, hang on, you're talking out of your arse.
Well, he's been in 8 million different things, and if I could remember his name, I could probably tell you them. But he was in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 for one, The Secret of the Ooze.
he's been in absolute tons. I bet he's probably been in Quantum Leap as well, and any television series that there's ever been.
Who's this?
No, just the guy who played the Klingon interrogator.
The Klingon interrogator. Yeah,
Kardashian.
Kardashian. Oh yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, what's he's been in shitloads.
I'm just trying to find him on IMDb through Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, and I'm not getting very far because there's no
pictures. Because isn't he the same guy who plays the human in Star Trek V on the galactic planet Peace?
God, yes, he is. Of course he is. Yes, Star Trek V. That's where I should be looking for him. Star Trek V. I got that on DVD the other day. I've not watched it yet.
Why, Richard? Why?
Because it's a number thing. As well, you know,
because it's a number.
That guy's a Brit. He's from Manchester.
Yes, he is.
David Warner.
David Warner. Why can't I see his name still? But I'm sure it's there. He was very good.
He was good, and that's an excellent episode, actually.
You see, we're fighting a losing battle with this because, by definition, in the series, Picard beat everyone.
He's Golmared.
Golmared.
What's an imaginative name there?
Medred or something like that.
Do you know what? I'm going to be really controversial now, actually. In the episode with the Stargazer... No, sorry, forget that. Best of Both Worlds Part 2.
Yeah.
Who beat Picard? That was a Riker command.
That was a Riker command, oh yeah.
The Riker manoeuvre...
But Data's idea.
Was it?
It was Data's idea to put them all to sleep.
Of course, the Riker manoeuvre didn't come till later. That was a solar flare thingy, wasn't it? Wasn't it?
That was Beverly. Hang on, that was Beverly Crusher. Are we talking about something completely different now?
Beverly Crusher ain't done fuck all with manoeuvres.
Yeah, she did. She got one of
That wasn't her idea, though. That was the fit Winston's idea.
From Passenger 57.
Yeah.
Ah.
That's right.
Her name's Tate.
Yeah, to pass by the sun and create a solar flare and blow up the really, really shit Borg ship that we wish had been blown up 2 episodes ago.
It looked like a little teapot, didn't it, Mike?
It did. Short and stout.
Yes.
So to accompany the crap Borg that we had in Descent 1 and 2, we also got a crap Borg ship, just to add more salt to the wound. What was wrong with the freaking cube? The Oxo cube? What was wrong with it?
They weren't proper Borg anymore in that episode, though, were they?
No, they were shit. Shit Borg.
That was individual Borg.
Shit.
Yeah.
Just like any other alien.
Yeah.
Rubbish.
As they quickly realised, I feel, seeing as that was the only time it ever featured.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, and then it was back to normal. Oh, what was that? Well, we didn't do anything with individual Borg. What are you talking about?
What was that?
Denied all existence of that episode.
So it's like all that moralising that Picard did about whether or not to do it or not was all in vain.
Yeah.
Never mind.
I think that's what learned me about the last episode of Battlestar Galactica, you know?
No, right. Don't mention anything because Troy hasn't seen it
yet. Oh, you haven't seen it yet? Right.
No, I haven't watched any of them yet, mate.
Okay. We'll move off that then because I'm only going to ruin it for you.
We need an answer, guys. And let's not say Picard because I think Gowron would kick Picard's ass in a fight.
Yeah, but you've also got Gowron in DS9, so he's transferable.
Exactly. He is.
This is tricky now. This is tricky. Oh. See, I want to say Picard, but are we dead set against that? Are we dead set against Picard?
Yeah, but I don't want to not say Picard just because he's the hero of the series. That would be a gay reason not to choose him.
It would be, because...
That would be like saying, this is the best Star Trek podcast ever, and because we had said that, people stopped listening by default.
That's true. Mm. That's true.
It'd be that gay.
So who do you want, then? Who do you reckon?
Yeah, it's got to be Picard, hasn't it?
Kalas.
Yes, it has. Kalas. The greatest warrior of the moment.
Yeah, let's be honest. Kalas was essentially the Klingon equivalent of Jesus coming back.
He was. No, he was. He was the Klingon Messiah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that really takes some beating because as good as Picard was, he was no Messiah.
Yes, but he was only a clone.
Was he?
Wasn't really.
Of course he was, yeah.
Really? Yes.
Oh, of course.
Of course he was.
Clones of Jesus don't work.
12,000 times.
Yeah.
No, clones of Jesus wouldn't work unless they had the powers.
No, you've got to have the power. Let's go with Picard then.
Picard.
It clearly is. We're just toying with ourselves.
Q's not in power. Yes.
Okay. DS9. Now
you've got lots of fucking choose.
Yes. We have here. There's a female shapeshifter. There's Martok. There's Golda Kutt.
Gowron again. There's Martok. There's Admiral Ross. Sisko, obviously.
How do you feel about Sisko? I felt that a criminal move with the beginning of DS9 was having Sisko come in merely as a commander.
No, because technically he's a commander of the space station. You don't have a captain of a space station. That was why.
Is that how it works? Because I always saw in that case, commander was more of a sort of an honorary title. Like, whatever your rank, you were going to be called commander. For the reasons he gets, you just said.
But he gets made a captain once he gets the Defiant, doesn't he?
Is that when it happens?
Just to like later on in that season.
All right, then. I need to brush up on my DS9, to be perfectly honest with you.
Everybody should brush up on the DS9 after season 2-3.
No, he got promoted and shaved his head and grew a beard, and he was meant.
That was season. I'm sure that was that season 3. They did that
season three at the very. At the very end of season 3, he grew the beard. At the very beginning of season 4, he shaved the head. They gave us a nice couple of transitionary episodes, so not to shock the general jury viewing public.
It was nice, though, that because that was kind of like the mark. If you're looking at DS9, if you see Benjamin Sisko looking normal, you turn it off.
That's a good thing.
There were some good ones in series three,
but as a general rule, you're protected from shit DS9 if Sisko has head.
Yes.
It's just like on Next Gen, if the uniforms haven't got collars yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And if they've got that silly stripe in the middle of the black area on the top.
Yes.
Yeah. Or most importantly, if Dr. Pulaski is in it, then just turn it off for that reason, actually.
Or Riker doesn't have a beard. Turn it off.
That's another one. Yeah, run away.
Run away. I did always like how Worf said Worf.
Worf's hair is an obvious one as well.
Worf's hair just by itself, Commander of the Defiant. It did get progressively longer as the seasons went on, didn't it? It was like every.
Yes, it did.
I tell you what, though, I've just started watching season 3. And Worf's head is enormous. It's really weird. For some reason, between season 2 and season 3, his head grew 6 inches in every dimension. They're at the point now where it just looks silly on top of his little body. I think it was his hair. The hair got cropped short or something like that. Clearly for his new serious position in Chief of Security. I don't know. No, because he'd been Chief of Security for a whole season by then.
Yeah, it grew. His hair grew.
Yeah.
It's bigger.
So far for DS9, we've got Worf's hair.
We've got a lot of contenders in DS9, it has to be said.
Yeah.
You've got... who else have you got? Fucking hell.
It's just tricky to do the series because by definition... Anyone who is the main captain of the series beats everybody else. If they don't, it's a shit series. So,
yeah, pretty much.
To do that sort of thing, we're on dodgy ground, I feel. And
it feels almost like quite a pointless episode, really, isn't it?
Well, I think maybe...
It was good in theory, wasn't it? But really, we're coming to similar conclusions that you've come to before.
Well, this is why I was kind of trying to whittle it down to the best captain of... all of the series, like, you know.
Yeah, maybe that would be better.
Your five big captains. Well, that's what we're ending up with, because so far we've got Kirk Picard, and it looks like Sisko's going to win round 3.
Let's do it and give it to Sisko, and then we can just debate the best captain ever. Although, I'm going to push for the best commander in Voyager to be Chakotay. Tuvok.
I'd like to...
Go on.
I'd like it to be controversial and just give it to Harry Kim just because it'd be hilarious.
Because what else has he ever had?
It's just then Harry Kim has to contend with fighting against Picard, Sisko and Kirk.
It's a small character who's not in Voyager very much, but he's in the first episode in the episode, was it Caretaker? Yeah. I'd like to give the award for best commander of Star Trek Voyager to Quark for commanding Quark's Bar, which he did in the 30 seconds that he was in the first episode of Voyager, far better than Janeway did for the rest of the series.
I'm going to give you that.
I'm going to give you that as well. I motion that. Definitely. Okay.
Definitely.
It's a Quark from Voyager.
Quark from Voyager. Okay.
We've missed out Enterprise.
We haven't missed out Enterprise.
I was going to say, I'm finally leaving us. Okay, Jonathan Archer is wet. So I'm sorry.
He has no edge.
He
suffered a great deal from the writing that was going on. And I didn't think there were many opportunities for him to come through as the type of captain that everybody wanted him to be. He was supposedly written as a good amalgamation of Kirk and Picard.
Good enough actor either.
Do you not think? I've never had a problem with his acting as such.
He never really looked completely comfortable in that role, did he? He never really, got into the whole Star Trek fight. And yes, you say the writing, trying to do a whole amalgamation of Kirk and Picard. I mean, why don't you try doing something? It's a bit of an odd idea here, guys. But how about writing something new?
Like they did with Sisko.
Hell, even Janeway. At least she's different.
Yeah. You know?
Why try to recycle two characters and then Trip, who is so fucking blatantly McCoy and Riker, it's untrue, and then T'Pol, who is Spock and Odo or whatever, it's with some sex appeal, obviously, but God's sake, just write something, for fuck's sake, people.
It was as if they were doing a sort of best of Star Trek series.
Yeah.
Here's everything you've liked for the last 25 years in one program.
Well, I think what they were trying to do, and the conceit that they were trying to get people to buy into, was the idea that this all happened before everything you've seen before. So the fact that everything that we're writing is actually derivative of everything that we've been doing for the last 20 years, but it's set before everything we've just done for the last 20 years. We're kind of trying to con you into thinking that everything else is actually derivative of Enterprise.
Very sneaky.
Didn't work though. We saw right through it. For starters, it was CGI, so it must have been made after.
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah. Is there CGI in it? There was barely anything in it, for God's sake. There were no frightening baddies. And any baddies that showed up that we knew what they were, we had to come up with some elaborate reason for them to not remember who they'd been fighting. Which was ridiculous. When the Ferengi came on board and took over the Enterprise, they had to write into the fact that everyone was made unconscious and shut in a small room. Again, is that the best thing they could think of?
I forgot about that episode.
It was the last thing on a Friday. Someone said, won't they remember who the Ferengi are? And then someone went, oh, shut them in a room. They never see him. Shut them in a room. Yeah. Rubbish.
Which kind of makes you think, if our main crew is shut in a small room and can't see the aliens that they're fighting and thus can't fight the aliens that they're fighting, really should we be doing a Ferengi episode, guys? Well, yeah, we've got to fill up this episode in between here, between the time we bring back the Borg and the time we bring back the Klingons. At some point, we're thinking of bringing in the such and such a character, and it's just like, for God's sake, write something.
Can I just ask, why didn't we see it? I really thought we were going to see the birth of the Klingon War.
No, that would have been good.
I thought that was the whole point of Enterprise, though, to see the start of that war, the disastrous first contact that they always talked about. Yes, mate.
Yeah, I think that's what should have happened. I'm still perfectly honest. Yeah, you tripped off a little bit there. I'll cut that little gap out for a bit. We didn't see the beginning of the Klingon War, and I always sort of tried to hold out for them doing that, but it never came along. And maybe they got cancelled before they got the chance to do it, or maybe they never had the intention.
Yeah, I thought that was the whole point of it. I really did, and it obviously not. Anyway, we need to pick somebody, and it can't be Archer, really, because he was crap.
Then I'm going to go for the other the other Vulcan guy who we just talked about, who wasn't called Sarek or Savik.
yes, or Tuvok.
Or anything that begins with S and ends in K. What was his name?
Don't know.
We're going to have to go with the thingy.
That guy.
I'm bringing it up now. And we'll see. God, no, he's not coming up. God, Enterprise was rubbish. I'm looking over the cast list now and remembering characters.
Fucking hell, Shran, man. Shran.
Shran?
Was it Shran, the Andorian?
Shran! Yes!
Oh, come on, he wins hands down.
Jeffrey Coombs.
About him.
Of course he wins. Shran.
Saval.
Saval. He was rubbish. We want Shran.
Crap. We want Shran now.
Shran was the best thing in that series by a very long way. And I have to say, those motorized Andorian feeler things were incredible.
Yeah, the antenna were wicked.
That's really good. That's really good. Hang on, you know, I'm looking at the Enterprise credits again, like I say, and Gene Roddenberry has a writing credit for one episode.
Which one?
Doesn't say. Hang on, he's got an executive producer credit for Star Trek Nemesis.
He was dead.
Yes, he was. He'd been dead for 11 years before that film came out.
Yes, he had. How did he end up with an executive producer credit when he died 11 years ago?
I don't know, but if anyone ever says to you that being an executive producer is hard, you slap them.
Yeah.
You can do that if you're dead. What are you moaning about? He also executively produced Star Trek V. Oh, he wasn't dead by then, was he?
Yeah, he was dead. What? Was he? No, he wasn't dead yet.
Dead 24th of October, 91.
And, yeah, just after Star Trek VI wrapped, I think.
Maybe that was the cause. Who knows?
I think it was more like Star Trek V that killed him, but it just took him a couple of years to die.
Yeah.
Right.
Probably. Oh, he's got...
Okay.
Oh, no, that's credit. He's credited for characters on Star Trek XI for 2008. So, I thought it was another producer thing.
So just to recap, we have Kirk, Picard, Sisko, Quark and Shran.
Yes.
Okay.
That's obscene that we've come up with that, but I'm fine with it.
I'm fine with that too.
Okay. So
we kind of changed the rules in the middle there from going, well, we're going to have to just go with the main captain, aren't we? To, no, we're not.
Fuck it. It's our podcast. We can do what we want.
Fuck it.
Yeah. So let's save the Kirk Picard thing till last.
Okay.
Let's save that till last. Quark versus Shran.
Quark, it's with his weasel cunning, he'd run away.
Shran would hunt him down and kill him.
I'd like to give it to Shran, as Quark is the joke answer. So maybe we should give it to an actual competitor here. So let's give it to Shran, I reckon.
Yeah.
Okay, Shran's a winner.
And who have we got from Enterprise again? Sorry. Oh, Shran. I'm not thinking straight. So Shran, and then, so this is the big one. Sort of Shran versus, what's his name?
Sisko.
I think
it's Sisko.
I think it is. Yeah. We got the joke answers out the way now.
Yeah, because Shran doesn't do this, like this.
I just want
to. He's running out of breath as he speaks.
Just like to let all our listeners know that isn't a problem with Skype. That is Mike's impression of Sisko. And
when he's angry,
spot on. It's spot on, mate.
When he was angry, you did that. And when he was happy, you'd like go, oh, yeah. And like do kind of like crazy Michael Jackson-esque things in the first couple of episodes. And then they made him stop doing that. Which was
cool. He was nearly into the whole jive talk and shamon, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't have gone down too well in Quark's.
No.
I don't think.
Oh, and then he would do his. He had three stages, didn't he? He had the Shimon, and then he had the breathy. Breath, I am out of breath. And then he had the very, very serious, very serious, because Sisko, very, very serious.
That was it.
See, that was it.
Excellent work.
That's at least two more stages than Archer had. So,
it is. It is. So now we have Sisko versus Kirk.
And three more stages than Janeway ever had. So I'm pretty happy with that.
She just had a high-pitched whine sound, didn't she?
Yeah. It's kind of like having a cheese grater grasped over your face.
Yeah. Or like when the fire alarm goes off at work and it's just that noise that pierces your brain.
No, actually, when I'm listening to Janeway, I'm looking forward to the fire alarm.
I would agree with you. Totally.
Okay.
Now we face the big one. This is the big one. This is the Kirk versus Picard debate, which is almost an episode on its own.
So hang on, are we doing a playoff here? So we're doing Kirk versus Picard and then whoever wins versus Sisko?
Yeah. Okay. Which is weird, because that could mean we have Sisko as the best captain ever.
That's not
it does.
Weird.
It could mean that it'd be controversial, Mike.
It would be controversial, but fuck it, it's our podcast.
That's it.
Exactly.
The podcast that named the cast of Voyager as the worst character in Star Trek.
Yeah. From the podcast that brought you such ridiculous statements as... Yeah.
That's how we need to market this show, you know.
We should, yeah.
We know about Star Trek, but choose not to listen to any of the sensible things. That's it. So, in a throwdown between Kirk and Picard...
Okay.
What do you reckon?
Picard.
Picard?
Yeah, Picard. Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with that as well. Yeah. And I'm going to be really cheeky and save all my reasons to myself in case we ever decide to do an entire Kirk-Picard episode.
I think we should. Maybe that'll be a continuation of this. I don't think we have enough time to go into it right now.
No.
No, we don't. I think that should have been this episode.
So now we have Picard versus Sisko.
Now, this is a fucking tough one.
This is a tough one.
Yeah.
I'm going to argue Picard is definitely cleverer, I think. Whereas Sisko, I find a more... I think he's more sort of dog-rough, rugged, sort of get-on-with-it, doing that shouty voice that you do so much kind of, Captain.
Yeah.
And they hate... I've forgotten, Sisko hates him. See, I think by default, Sisko would be fighting with hate. He'd be fighting with pure hate.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think based on that, and also Picard may still feel the guilt for killing Sisko's wife and him being quite ever so pissed off about it, that he might let himself be beaten to death.
Yeah. Maybe he'd concede.
But I was also, by the very same vein, because Sisko was fueled by anger and Picard would have been that little bit more clear-headed, possibly he'd make a mistake.
Ah.
Possibly.
So, yeah.
But then...
Gone.
Well, not to sort of brag on about achievements as such, and I mean, I know that they've got a lot behind their belts, under their belts and everything, and like what they've done for the Federation and humanity in general, yada, yada, yada. But Sisko did lead an armada of... Klingons and Romulan Federation ships, and in the biggest, most spectacular battle of Star Trek history.
Yes, he did.
That's got to count for something.
He certainly
and then
did.
Not only that, but in the same episode, he then saved the Alpha Quadrant from the Par Apes as well at the end.
Yes, he
by
did.
By being the emissary. He was a deity, as well as being a captain and commander and... father, and that was one thing he never did, that Picard never did. He never had a kid, did he?
No, that's it. He did all that while being a father.
Exactly.
That's another message to all single parents out there.
Indeed.
I think
you too could be the commander of the galaxy.
Yeah, if you just get your finger out.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. I think we've got to give it to Sisko then.
All right, let's give it to Sisko. Let's be confident.
Let's give it to Sisko. Okay, fair. Yes.
Because that's just easier. And he's louder. And I love Mike's impression of him a little bit more.
Okay, well, then, in that case, that's reason enough for me.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
No, I love the structure in the show. You know, I really do love the way we come to decisions.
Sorry, structure?
Yeah.
There's actually... We're not bad for structure.
We're not bad. We kind of have to do it a little bit.
Yeah. We're not that bad. We're not that bad at all.
Not at all.
And we're quite fun. Yeah.
Fun.
So then.
That's fun, not boring.
Fun, not boring. So then, let's wrap it up then. The official make it so commander of all time is Benjamin Sisko. Did he have a middle name?
Lafayette.
Lafayette?
Yeah.
Benjamin Lafayette Sisko. Superb. Yeah. Excellent. Good working.
I'd like to tell you the star dates that he was born and died on, but I'm really not that much of a geek.
If you could do that, I'd stop talking to you. I really would. That's too much.
The only thing I know with the star dates is that the original series was completely random numbers, and then when they started Next Gen, they started with, in season one, was 4-1 something, 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 random numbers. And then season two was 4-2 random numbers. And then it carried on like that all the way through to the end of Voyager. So it was something like 5.3 or 5.4 when Voyager ended.
I remember reading somewhere that there was logic to all of the numbers.
I only remember reading that there's logic to the first two, but that's it.
I'll have a look. If anyone knows anything different, drop us an email at makeitso@simplysyndicator.com. Or join the forum, actually. The forum's doing ever so well. So go to our webpage, which is simplysyndicator.com/makeitso, and there's a button on the right to enter our forums. Come and sign up and talk Trek with us.
I love that picture of Tronto Kev, the Cylon. Hello. I think that's absolutely amazing.
Yes, replaced by CG. Help.
Yeah, help. I thought that was genius.
I did too. Have you not seen it? Go onto the forum, Mike. There's a wonderful avatar picture of a Cylon.
Oh, right, okay.
It's in there. While people are checking things out on the internet, they should check out our other podcasts, like Movies You Should See, which is us three and two other rather special people.
Special.
And it's pretty much like this, only sort of louder and longer and less structured and not Star
More
Trek.
Swearing, oddly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're very clean in this sort of unintentionally, but Star Trek...
Yeah, maybe I should like throw in a fuck shit cunt bollocks at the end of this one just to make it a bit more explicit.
That's good. I would have felt bad putting that explicit tab up there if you hadn't done that.
Right, okay, you're welcome.
That's good, thank you. Right then, let's cut this off before we ramble on into nothingness.
Indeed.
Okay. Right, thank you very much, everyone. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
See you later. Bye.
See you next week.
Bye.